Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's Dad Up. All right, welcome to this edition of Dad Up. We are so glad to have you with us again. In the studio with me are Charles. Welcome back, my brother.
Glad to be back.
And Mike. It's always nice to have you, man. You're not always here, but I know in physically you're not always here, but you're here.
I'm texting if I'm not here.
I'm voting for the wrong joke. But all right, yeah. Welcome, my brother.
Thank you.
And Bill, nice to have you in the house also, man.
I was humbly pleasant and just feeling great when I'm here. Thank you for having me.
What a joy it is. We don't have Bob with us to continue the discussion we had last Monday. So last Monday, we went strictly to the book. We looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And if you don't mind, listening audience, I want to refer you back to this part of scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And just to repeat something that we said then, and we'll say now, because it will always be true. We make every effort to have what we do and say on this program and outside the studio to be biblically based. Again, you don't have to be a Christian to listen or to learn, because when we talk about fatherhood, it knows no culture, no political affiliation. Dads are important right across the spectrum. But not only do we want to ground our arguments and our suggestions and recommendations from a biblical perspective, we want to make sure that it is evidence-based, it is research-based. So, for example, I would never just come on here and say, if you want to be the best dad ever, you need to love gardening like I do, because it would not be evidence-based. It would be just an idea or my personal experience, and that wouldn't be good enough. So we're referring to a conversation we had last week, Monday, which is the S of spiritual. So again, let me explain that. We encourage our fathers and father figures to be better spies. And spies is an acronym for your social well-being, your physical well-being, your intellectual or your mental health, your emotional well-being, and your social life. The S of spies. Today, Monday, we deal with the spiritual. And last Monday, we looked at some principles in 2 Timothy chapter 1, which clearly underscore some of the things that research has shown. And that I'm not surprised about, because the man who made us, the person who made us, our manufacturer, knew everything that we need. So in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, we notice that Timothy had some strong women in his lives. He had his grandmother Lois, and he had his mother Eunice, and they poured into him what most of us hopefully received from our moms and grandmas when we were growing up. For you, Charles, it was your grandmother,
yes,
and then your mom,
yes,
and you had several aunts,
yes.
And yes. Tell us, what did that look like? Did they bring you to church, drug you to church, prayed for you?
Well, it was an unwritten rule, especially in my mother and dad's house. Even though at the time growing up, my dad wasn't a Christian, but he co-signed with my mother. Church was important. It didn't matter what time I got in Saturday night / Sunday morning from a basketball game. 9:30 was Sunday school. I knew my way there. I had to be there. So it started with my grandmother, who was, for the better part of 35 years, a Sunday school superintendent. Mm. So it wouldn't look right if her grandson did not come to Sunday school.
So they played a crucial role in your life.
Oh, yes.
All right. And for you, Mike, as I recall, it was your mom, your aunt, and did you say a sister?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Bill?
Yeah, again, my mother and my sister in my formidable years were just really wonderful women in my life, and you know, gave me those things that you talked about.
And for me, it definitely was my mom. I grew up with her. When I say I grew up with her, she was always there because my dad would either be abroad or something like that, and she was always there. So she played a crucial role in my life. The point we made last week, and we'll reiterate, is that the principle here that we learn in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a principle that all research agrees with, that even though you may have wonderful, strong, positive women in your life, it does not negate the fact that you need a dad or a father figure. And the principle is brought out in chapter 1, where Paul was a dad tour, a father figure for Timothy. One of the things that we are asking for, listening audience, especially men, we have a program called Dad Tourship. And I know we make up words around here. We have Dad Tour, we have Daducate, we have Mom Sense. This is where you get an opportunity to be a Paul to a Timothy out there. There are many young people in our society, in our schools, who don't have a father figure, or that young man might be a young dad and he needs a father figure, a Timothy. I noticed something here, verse 3, gentlemen, that Timothy was prayed for consistently by Paul. He says, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. Is there someone that you guys are praying for consistently? Or let's go back a little bit. Do you recall having somebody praying for you? I know, Charles, you could hear your name sometimes. Yes. From the next room.
Yes. My mother was a diligent prayer warrior, and she was not shy about walking through the house in the middle of the night praying and calling our names. And again, with my dad, after he became a Christian, he was just as bold as anyone in praying for all of us. And that came from my grandparents also. It was just poured into me just like that. So praying for anything, the boldness must be there.
This might be a hard question because I honestly can't say yes to it. I didn't have a father figure. I didn't have a dad who was praying for me. Not that I know of. Can you, Mike, do you recall having a Paul, so to speak, praying for you when you were growing up? Or
actually, no. The only time I went to church was for a wedding or a funeral. So I didn't have that in my life that I knew of.
That you knew of.
So, yeah, I don't think, I knew it was there. And even my relationship with God wasn't strong, but I knew he existed.
And before I come to you, Bill, somebody might say, well, you might not know, but somebody's praying for you. I think it helps to know that the person's praying for you. Some wise guy said this, and I'm going to quote him. He said, it is bad when you are lost. Mm. But it's worse if you're lost and no one is looking for you.
So
does that sound familiar?
That sounds familiar.
Oh, yes. I got it from him, man. To have somebody praying for you is wonderful. But to know, Timothy knew that somebody was praying for him because Paul wrote and told him that. That is powerful. For you, Bill, do you know when you were growing up? Could you tell if your dad or somebody?
No, I mean, honestly, I don't. Through my youth and through my, you know, young man life, I don't feel like there's anybody praying for me in my journey, Christian journey. But today, I can feel. I know that there are men that are praying for me. As a matter of fact, on this drive up, I had a conversation with a friend who, a Christian man who we're becoming close and close friends, and I know he's praying for me, and that means the world. And in twofold, I'm praying for them,
right?
And right. There are some people in my life right now, very close people that I'm praying constantly for them. So I think that you know, I think you said, you know, it doesn't matter where you start, it's how you end. And right now, you know, I didn't have that beginning, but now it's a very vibrant part of my life.
So for us, we may not be able to refer back to some wonderful experience of being prayed for, but now we have an opportunity as dads to flip this script. And so the question that I would ask you, or even our dads listening, is there a young man, is there a young lady, is there a child, is there a family that you're praying for? And I don't want you to necessarily answer that right now, because as we focus on the S of spies, part of our spiritual growth involves prayer. It's not optional. It is a vital part of our lives. And we want to encourage our dads to make sure that the PSI in the spiritual tire is up to par. And yes, even the most well-charged phone gets low over time. So we should never say I'm 10 and leave it there, because if it's left unattended, what happens?
It slowly
erodes, slowly goes down. Yes, you must, just like anything, you have to recharge, if you can say that, because that's why community, being with fellow believers, is so important, because as you're pouring out, you're getting empty. So you need to be refilled to keep going and doing what you're doing.
That is so crucial. And I know you, Bill, you have a group of men that you meet on a regular basis with and pray, in addition to, of course, your own personal prayer life.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I didn't have that. A year ago, I didn't have it, and I just got called. The Lord said, well, what do you want to do about it? And so I stepped out and put a group together, and it, you know, at first it was just me and another guy with a chair for a couple of weeks, and then, you know, we got a few more men, and now it's an amazing group of men that, you know, we're praying for each other, we're challenging each other, and like I said, there's some real roots beginning to take effect, to where when another man says, hey, I see what you're going through, I see some of your struggles, I'm praying for you, and that's when you're getting the next level, when you're laying your shield down.
Amen.
You know, as men, we kind of hold that up, our armor's up, but when you get into a group of men and you have time together being men, and you break down that wall. You spoke about it in a past episode, that wall of competition. Charles spoke about that. When that comes down, you realize, like, we're going through this together.
Yeah.
And you get that spirit of, I want to see you succeed. When you really feel that, you want to see another man succeed, then that comes back. Then you're that's what God wants in his sons, you know.
Yeah. And when a man says to another man, I'm praying for you, and it's not some flippant thing, it's genuine, that is empowering. To use your time to pray for somebody is to be giving them some of your life. Because your life is made up of time. And to use time to pray for somebody is sharing your life for or with somebody. That is powerful. So Timothy had Paul praying for him. And I want to challenge you guys, myself included, as well as you dads out there, be a Paul for somebody. Pray for them and let them know that you are praying for them. It says here in verse 3, night and day. So consistency. Here's another part I want to talk about, gentlemen. And I think it would fit in very nicely with Thursday's, the emotional part. But since we're here and we're talking about the spiritual, Paul says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. I underlined that in my Bible, thy tears, because it means here that Timothy must have shed some tears, not crocodile tears, real tears, and did it in the presence of Paul. which means that Paul created an atmosphere where Timothy could be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Guys lack that. We don't go around in the gym crying. We don't go to the ball game crying. Oh, yeah, I see the national anthem being prayed and the toughest guys praying, crying on TV, and everybody almost allows that. But forget that when the game is done. If they lose and they're walking off the field, okay, let's get back to what I'm saying. We aren't encouraged to shed tears. Timothy must have felt comfortable enough to be able to shed tears in the presence of Paul. And it means, therefore, that we as men need to create space for the men that we surround to be able to shed tears if they need to. When you were growing up, Mike, were you a crybaby? I mean, seriously, we weren't encouraged to sort of cry, suck it up.
Yeah, I mean, even though I was raised by women, I didn't have that, like, I'm going to go ahead and cry. You know, even, I guess, my first funeral was my great-grandfather, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I was like, I think I should be crying right now. I mean, I loved him, but I don't have that. And I thought something was wrong, you know. But then I, you know, reading this part of Scripture, it's like, your tears, you know, if you could collect all the tears, and it's filling another person with joy, right? So I see, like, almost like I had wrote something, and like, I write a lot, so I imagine, like, God opening up his rib cage and just pouring him into me, like, pouring into me, you know? So I see that in almost in the same aspect. Mm. So becoming vulnerable and understanding that it is okay to have that E in spies, you know, just as crucial as it is the other letters. You know, you need that. And if you don't, then something breaks down inside. And then that every other letter in that
gets affected.
It breaks down itself.
Yeah. Bill?
It's all over right now, but I'm going to try to lock this in. I think that, you know, what Charles and I had a conversation before we started about this, and we're talking about the lies of the street culture.
Mm.
And how they really do penetrate men in so many different ways. And those lies are like, you're supposed to be so tough all the time. And I think that once you understand who you are, and if you have a good surrounding around you, and you really do plant your feet in Christ, those parts of you that are able to shed tears, to show emotions, those come through. But the work has to be done in being totally comfortable with who you are. And as they say in the streets, you're not trying to front or, you know, pose. And that element is very strong in the street. I'll finish this one lesson that blew my mind. And many years ago, I was renovating a UFC gym, one of the first UFC gyms down here, which UFC is the Ultimate Fighting Championship, many, many years ago. And I remember meeting true UFC fighters, and they are some of the most calmest people you'll ever meet. You know, that they fight for a living. But when they're done training, they are even-keeled individuals. Nothing really bothers them because they have that strength under control. Mm-hmm. You know, so I remember taking that as a lesson, like, wow, these are people you'd think that would be very on edge all the time, and it's exactly opposite.
Mm-hmm.
They're very centered in themselves. They know who they are. And I took that lesson with me forward.
I pray that this program will help us and hopefully the men that we are speaking to and with to learn how to be, one, themselves, but two, that we will learn to make it safe for others to be themselves. I have a feeling, as high as Paul was on the spiritual scale, he didn't make Timothy feel less than for shedding the tears that he mentioned in verse 4.
I know with me at Poor Sinner Church of God, we have two programs, so to speak, that we have Monday nights and Tuesday nights. Monday nights, we have what we call Man Cave Monday, where a bunch of godly men get together, and we tell jokes, we tell stories. And on Tuesday night, we have men's prayer. And on both nights, we say to everyone, this is a safe space. Mm. On Monday night, they say, what goes on in the man cave stays in the man cave. So we can release our vulnerability, knowing that we won't be judged. Nobody would talk about you. It won't go beyond here. And on Tuesdays, it's the same way. We have to create areas for men to be vulnerable and be safe in their vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And we have that on those two nights.
And I think men do a good job of what Charles was saying. There's accountability and there's trust. You know, that has to take a little time. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's so important to get to that space where Charles was just speaking about, where men can really talk freely.
It takes
time. But you have to have trust, and that's only built by accountability and holding other men accountable. Like, look, this is for our good, and not letting guys get away with.
And to piggyback on that, I have a friend in Delaware who I've known for 30 years. He was going through a really, really tough time, and I was a little upset that he didn't tell me. But when he told me, I told him, I said, why don't you come on our men's prayer group on Tuesday nights? At the time, we were just doing it on a conference call. And I said, it's a safe space. You can share as much or as little as you want. So for about 3 weeks, all he did was listen. Mm-hmm. He told me he would call. All he did was listen, basically to test what I had told him. But after a while, he introduced himself, and then I introduced him and told the other brothers who he was. And he credits that with saving his intellectual and emotional being to get him through, because during that time he was going through trial after trial. He was literal trials in courts, and it was just messing with him. But we told him, look, we're going to pray for you. He knew each person's name. He actually came down and visited afterwards. And he credits that right now even more so than his church group up in Delaware for getting him through his situation.
Because you know what's important? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut off. Is that sometimes we create these groups, right? But the people that we associate with when we're not in those groups, if we can't carry them into the group, you might have to let them go. It's really important to trim.
Cutting of the herd.
Yeah, you got to trim the fat or trim the bushes. You got to manicure. You know, you have to do these things in your life in order to move forward. Because if you can't, they will pull you back.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man, this is amazing. So, two things before we get to some jokes around here. We have not had any for a long time. We have this program called Dad Tourship, just like mentorship, where we invite fathers and father figures to give at least an hour a week to serve as a father figure for a child who doesn't have a father figure or a father, as well as to come alongside a young, inexperienced dad. And we're asking you to call us, 561-229-2379. 561-229-2379, or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. We'll give you some information, and we will utilize the time that you give. I really, really would like to have you join us. So, gentlemen, we have 5 minutes left.
already?
I know, man. Where does the time go? Listen, we have not heard a joke from you, Mike, for a long time. So let me hear one joke that you have.
Knock, knock.
Hey? Oh, that's the joke.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Tank.
Tank who?
You're welcome.
Okay.
Are you laughing, Kai? Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. All right. Okay, no, hold on to yours, Charles. Let me hear it. Bill, give me a joke.
What do you call a plate of cheese and dip with no Triscuits?
A plate of cheese?
And dip with no Triscuits. Crack-a-lackin'.
Oh, wow.
Listen, let's keep ours, Charles. Let's keep
ours. Definitely need that laugh track
button. Yeah. Hey, I liked it. I thought this is a good one. That could be my best one. So laugh up, boys.
Listen, this program has been sponsored by Nuzzle Nolan Pest Control and Lawn Care Services. They can be reached at 561-556-7895. And by the way, you can become a sponsor of one of these programs. Nuzzle Nolan won't do it forever, but thank goodness they have got us going. You can be a sponsor for your church, your company, or you might just want to do it in honor of your son, your husband, your dad. Please give us a call, 561-229-2379. It costs at least $95 for each of these sessions, which quite honestly is a good deal for what we're doing. This program is aired every morning 8:30 and then repeated in the evening at 8:30 p.m. Listen, guys, it is an honor to share with you each morning, and we look forward to continuing this conversation. Please, dads, father figures out there, make sure that every day you check your spies meter and see where you are spiritually, physically, intellectually or mentally, emotionally, socially, and where you might be running low. Reach out to someone. Find your Paul or be a Paul for somebody, because sometimes it's in giving that we receive. Very often you need joy. Well, go share joy with somebody else. And as you do that, you are inevitably going to be made joyful. One final word from you, Charles?
Well, the thought just occurred to me, too. We can be a dad tour. It doesn't necessarily have to be to a young person.
No. No.
Because I think of my dad who prayed me out of my situation when I was 44 years old. So we should always look for those opportunities in any age group, because we all need each other.
Yes. Oh, some times in our lives.
Okay.
We could just sing here, but we won't. All right. Again, give us a call, and we're asking for you to be part of Dad Up 1000. Dad Up 1000. We're asking for 1,000 dads and father figures between now and the end of August to join us by calling 561-229-2379 or emailing us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. To do one of three things: to give of your prayers. Let us know you're a Paul out there. Let us know you are praying for us. To give of your hours, your time, to volunteer to be a dad tour for a child that needs a father figure, or to give financially for this program or for the operation Daducation in our schools. We need your financial help to pay for this program. It costs about $90 per session. You can donate to give for one session or more than one or part thereof. Every cent matters. We're grateful to you. Have a great day and God bless. Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.